Public hearing. Now we're on to item six, the public hearing for the public meeting. I'm sorry, it's not a public hearing, folks. It's a public meeting and comment regarding the streets reconstruction general obligation bond. This item is an opportunity to be heard regarding the streets reconstruction bond and is another state required step in the legal process that began when the council placed the bond on the November ballot. We'll begin by hearing from our city election officer, Cindy Mansell, who will read the arguments for and against the bond and their rebuttals, and we'll follow her readings by comments from anyone else who wishes to speak on the issue. Thank you, Ms. Mansell.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the argument for the streets reconstruction bond, and it was provided by the Salt Lake City Council and Mayor. So this November, we are asking city voters to approve an $87 million streets reconstruction general obligation bond. Bonding is a common way local governments pay for expensive projects like road reconstruction and civic buildings. It's also one of the most accountable funding options available, since state law requires the funds be spent only for the purpose outlined on the ballot. Salt Lake City is poised for continued prosperity, making now the time to take advantage of a rare and affordable funding option. This bond will invest in the street network, the backbone of our local economy, by reconstructing some of the worst roads. Many of our roads must be rebuilt. They are past the point of maintenance or repairs. A year ago, an in-depth pavement condition survey found nearly two-thirds of the city's streets are in poor or worse condition. Fortunately, the time is right to act and make a big impact on our street reconstruction needs with minimal impact to household budgets. Two current bonds for the new Main Library, 1999, and the Leonardo Museum Project, 2009, will be paid off in 2019. That gives voters a rare opportunity to approve a new bond for street reconstruction without significantly increasing property taxes overall. The owner of a home valued at a citywide average of $339,500 would see a net property tax increase of just $0 to $5 a year. Since bonds will be issued over several years, some property owners won't see any net impact at all. Commercial property taxes are calculated differently. They would increase by $25.72 a year per $100,000 of taxable value. Not approving the bond would lower taxes on an average value home by about $41 a year, but our roads would continue their decline and cost even more in future years to rebuild. The upfront costs of street reconstruction projects are so high, the city can't save up enough to address them without cutting other critical services. Bond funds will be spent over several years to reconstruct the worst streets first. 80% of funding would go to major roads in the worst shape and 20% split among neighborhood streets in each city council district. Although the bond funds won't be sufficient to reconstruct all roads, we can make significant progress. Individual street selection will be based primarily on data from the pavement condition survey, with consideration given to other factors like master plans and other projects. Given their importance in our daily lives and our economy, we have little choice but to repair our roads. Regardless of where in the city you live and whether you travel by foot, bike, or vehicle, we all use our streets and have a stake in ensuring they meet our needs. Invest in our future and don't let crumbling roads detour our city's success. Vote yes on the streets reconstruction bond. And so now I'll read the rebuttal to the argument in favor, and it was submitted by Salt Lake City resident Frank A. Langenrich. And he says, it is true that Salt Lake City streets need improvement, but not through this proposed bond. Since the argument for the bond states bond funds would be spent over several years, it is clear the projects do not have the funding urgency suggested in the proposal. A more responsible way to do this is to sideline less important budget items and make the necessary improvements over time. Because the bond funding would be designated strictly for road projects, it would provide the city with another excuse to divert its current road funding to other areas. An earlier $5 million property tax increase for road repairs was used for employee raises instead. See Salt Lake Tribune, February 2, 2017. Salt Lake City Council wants to pay for street improvements, but how? This year, we have already been saddled with a sales tax increase that was intended to be used partially for roads. The argument that this proposed bond would take the place of two other bonds scheduled to be paid off in 2019 suggests the attitude that bond funding may be treated as a permanent tax increase with ongoing renewals. There is no commitment to reducing the city's ongoing indebtedness or our tax burden. Since the argument in favor states that the bonds won't be sufficient to reconstruct all roads, we are already being prepped for additional requests. Vote no on the streets reconstruction bond. Then I have the argument against the streets reconstruction bond, and that was submitted by Salt Lake City resident Frank A. Langenrich. While we agree that Salt Lake City needs road projects, this one is short-sighted and will cost much more in the long run as a haphazard, small project approach. We believe the city needs to present a complete plan with full disclosure to the public for evaluation. This bond will merely lead to many more over the next decade as the city will repeatedly come back for additional piecemeal funding. There are a number of issues with the issuance and additional indebtedness proposed to be taken on by the citizens of Salt Lake City. While this bond issue will increase our general obligation debt by 64%, it is still insufficient to fund the needs claimed by the city. Consider that the 13th East project, budgeted at $14 million, is only 1.12 miles long, or $12.5 million per mile. At that rate, the bond would cover less than 7 miles of street repairs. There is no comprehensive plan for the use of these funds. While the city has laid out an algorithm to choose which streets will receive reconstruction, the proposal is that the bonds will likely be used as projects are identified in several stages. The public should know the entirety of the project before voting on it. These bonds are budgeting sleight of hand. The city has consistently reduced parts of the capital budget since the end of the recession, including the amount budgeted for street reconstruction from $13.4 million in 2017 to a proposed $8.9 million in 2019. The contribution of general fund dollars to the capital improvement program has declined 3.8% from fiscal year 2016 through fiscal year 2018. While sales tax were just increased by $33 million per year, only $4 million of this is being allocated to street reconstruction. The city is reallocating necessary budgets and then making it up by asking us to cover $87 million to cover priorities. The city has not upheld the commitments made to voters on past bond obligations. For instance, when the bonds for our basketball arena were paid, it was expected that property taxes would be reduced to reflect the lower debt service. Instead, those funds were redirected to fund the new theater downtown. In this way, city leaders maintained the debt and built the theater without public approval. We expect that if these bonds are approved, we will owe these funds forever as one project after another receives rollover after rollover without public approval. Do not believe the promised 10-year term. For all these reasons, vote no on the street reconstruction bonds. Make the city deal honestly with its citizens. And then finally, I have the rebuttal to the argument against the streets reconstruction bond provided by the City Council and Mayor. The argument against the bond does not match the facts and data publicly available from the city. The city increased ongoing funding to the capital improvement program by 19.5% over the past 4 years and honored projects funded by past general obligation bonds, which are legally bonding voter-decided funding tools. Current and future city leaders legally can't spend this bond funding on anything but streets reconstruction, as specified on the ballot. What's more, the city does have a comprehensive plan. The city's 2017 pavement condition report identified the lowest rated roads needing reconstruction. $69.6 million of the bond would be allocated for major roads and $17.4 million for local streets throughout the city. The bond is based on a plan prioritizing data-driven selection. While the bond won't solve every road need citywide, it will address about 20% of the most critical, a significant improvement drivers all over the city would benefit from. Currently, full road reconstruction averages a cost of $500,000 per lane mile for asphalt. Maintaining roads costs much less, between $9,000 and $14,000 per lane mile. So the city allocated several million dollars from ongoing city funds, not bonds, to expand maintenance crews and keep our roads from declining to this point again. If the bond passes, the city will be using 11.4% of the general obligation bond credit card debt limit. The city arrived here through a transparent process consisting of 15 open houses, 13 public briefings, 2 public hearings, and 1 citywide mailing.
Thank you, Ms. Mansell. Now we'll hear from the public, and Dan Curtis has been patiently waiting. I've still got your card. Dan, you'll come up first, followed by Nancy Saxton.
Okay, thank you for hearing me. It's been a little while. My name is Dan Curtis. I live at 1032 East 400 South for the past 7 years. I've been commuting up to the University of Utah by my bike about 2 times every day, 5 days a week, most of the year. In that time, I've been hit by a car 1 time with I don't know how many other close calls. This is primarily at the intersection of 4 South and 13th East. I think it's mostly like the design of the intersection. Cars come around that right-hand corner on the 4 South, and people just get hit all the time. I think there were some previous ordinances where that bike lane that was there was being built where it was being more protected, and I felt like a lot of those accidents would be prevented if that was fully carried out. So I think my main concern about this bond is that it wouldn't fully address the ordinances regarding the complete streets. And I would really like, I'm not entirely sure what the response to that is, if it's more legislation or amendments or something else, but to make sure that those complete streets are more built into the process and make sure that there's more accountability and they're carried out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curtis. Nancy Saxton is up next, followed by George Chapman. Welcome back, Ms. Saxton.
Thank you. Thank you, Council. I have a thought that I hope will perhaps be a suggestion about the bond process. It seems to me that since we're using public money, and I'm glad to hear that there is a for and against, that I would like to see that there is matching money for the entities that speak against a bond, since it's public money. So that getting the word out, which I thought there was some very good information on both sides, but I think often when there is a bond issue, it's a bit quiet on the to be able to publicly go out and let people know what ideas may be against the bond. I think that we live in a time where transparency is hoped for and valued, and yet doesn't really exist, and this might be a nice step for the city to set the stage for the world in many ways, to really allow the public to make use of their own individual tax dollars to speak out about bonds that is going to affect each household. So I'd like for you to think about that for transparency so that each voter can be completely educated about the issues on both sides.
Thank you, Ms. Saxton. George Chapman is the last card that I have, and I think George left. So there's one more. Great. Dave Iltis.
My name is Dave Iltis with Cycling Utah. I'm for the bond. I think that it's a necessary thing. But I'm only for it if you amend and drastically improve the complete streets ordinance. I know you've had some discussions about doing this. The ordinance as it currently sits is ignored by Salt Lake City in multiple places. First South is an example where First South was repaved and under the last administration and bike lanes were not put in. There's plenty of room there to do that. 700 South, same thing, bike lanes. There's room to actually go in tomorrow and stripe bike lanes on there. When they repaved this the last time, it wasn't included. 21st South is, of course, probably the most glaring example where shortly after not including new bike lanes on there, and better sidewalks and better crosswalks, a teenager was hit and had both of his legs broken there. So if you're going to spend $87 million on streets, please have a plan for this. Please make sure that this modernizes Salt Lake City's transportation. You cannot do the same thing over and over and over again and expect that we're going to have anything but air pollution and traffic and sprawl. The complete streets ordinance, again, it needs to apply when you do some things simply like, chip sealing a roadway, and if there's room to put bike lanes on there or improve pedestrian access or make it easier for bulb outs for transit, those sorts of things need to be done. And to just spend $87 million without having this, and have a carte blanche ticket to do this without a good plan, I don't think is wise governance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Iltis. That's the last card I have tonight on this item. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak to us? Then I'll look for a motion on the public comment.
Madam Chair, I move the council close the public meeting and comment for the streets reconstruction general obligation bond.
Second.
We've got a motion by Councilmember Rogers, a second by Councilmember Kitchen. Is there any discussion? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And that takes us on to Section C, our potential action item.